Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday. It is October 5th, Jen.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. And I think maybe the summer is officially over. I mean, we've had like cool weather. It was chilly this morning.
Well, I mean, summer is officially over, but they said it's going to cool down like the beginning of the week and then get warmer again.
Oh, really? Yeah. It's going to get hot again? Oh, my. I thought we already, because we were supposed, well, we had sort of rain yesterday. Nothing major at all, but I didn't even see any. I mean, I did Saturday night because I stayed up late. And but then it always rains here at night when you don't get to enjoy it.
Right.
You get up in the morning, it's all gone and everything.
At least you wake up and your car is clean if you park on the street.
Yeah, I guess. Until the rain stops and then you realize how dirty it actually is, right? Yeah. I know. The worst is to get your car washed and then the next day or the same day it rains. You know.
Which is strange because here it never rains.
Right,
but when
exactly.
It does, then you are upset.
But some car washes have what they call rain checks. You know that? Yeah. But that means you have to keep the receipt, and they always take the receipt from you when you pick up the car, when you get the car washed.
My car wash gives you a receipt, and then they give you a ticket. So when you pick up your car, you give them the ticket, but you keep the receipt.
Yeah, you see, that's the way it should be.
Right.
I'll tell them where I go.
Great.
Yeah. But yeah, we don't have rain problems that much out here. But it was actually chilly last night and this morning. And I thought, wow, you know, starting to feel the winter coming.
Yeah, there was something in the air yesterday. I felt a little fall weather, but yeah. Then it got warm again.
I know. But today today's beautiful, actually. Beautiful, crisp, cool. That's what we need. Enough of this heat. Everybody's complaining about the heat, you know.
We would like to be, you know, to have a reprieve from the heat. Is that the word?
Reprieve, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, well, we'll see. So, let's see. In a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in. We're going to be talking about dating, actually international online dating.
I have a lot of questions about that.
I know, me too. So that would be interesting because I think these things, at least before, until recently, I think these things were pretty, like, iffy. You know, it's like you didn't know. Can I count on these websites? Are they real? You know,
yeah.
You always get these beautiful Russian women and stuff, you know, or women from Asia and things like that, you know, and everybody's like, wow. But then it used to be that, you know, there was a lot of like misleading stuff going on there.
Right. So, also, there used to be a lot of stigma to online dating. Now it's so common that everyone's just talking about it out loud.
Yeah. That's true. And I mean, you know, if you want to meet someone from another country, that's the way to go.
I just want to know why anyone would want to.
Yeah.
Like, my big question is, why would you want to date internationally? Unless you're planning on moving to the country they live in, or they're planning on moving to where you live. Why?
Well, I'm sure that's one of the conditions. I mean, yeah, if you wanted to meet someone, I'm sure you're either ready to relocate or they're willing to relocate.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing. So we'll find out because there's obviously a lot of people that want to come to America and looking for a
right, like a green, spouse. Like why don't they just call the website like greencard.com? Like, you know, I just don't.
Well, because maybe not everybody's like that. I don't know.
I guess.
But you're right. But yeah, we'll find out everything from the head of the company, and that should be interesting. So we'll see. What was I going to say? Okay, so, well, there's some online dating stuff that we can maybe get to after the interview and stuff.
Great.
So how was your weekend, Jen? Did you have a nice weekend?
My weekend was great.
Yeah?
It was very relaxing after my big event Thursday night. Friday night, I just stayed in.
Wow.
Which was lovely.
That's eventful, though.
It was so great.
Very unusual. So.
I watched TV that I needed to catch up on, Scandal and Grey's Anatomy, and I organized my apartment. got my life back together.
Get productive.
Yeah, totally. Went to bed early. Saturday, I laid at the pool at the SLS Hotel all day.
Oh, where's the SLS Hotel?
Beverly Hills.
Wow.
It was really...
So how do you go there? Do you get invited and stuff? Or
no, you get a chair at the pool.
Oh, really?
And you just...
So anybody can go, right?
I think you should probably spend money, like order food and drinks and stuff. Yeah. So I was there for like 5 hours.
Wow.
Something like that. And then went to dinner at Mastro's in Malibu.
Oh, wow. Look at you. So wait a minute. So you went to Saturday to that thing, right?
Yes.
To the pool.
Yeah.
Not yesterday when it was raining.
Right.
Okay.
That would make
sense. Now I got it together. Yeah.
So did that Saturday. Went to Mastro's by the beach Saturday night. And then yesterday morning went to Nobu in Malibu for breakfast. And then hung out with a girlfriend all day yesterday.
Now, Nobu is sushi, right?
It is Japanese food, but they have like a brunch that's all kinds of things.
Oh, really?
It's their take on like breakfast items. So
okay, but is it Japanese style?
A little bit, yeah. It's but it's not like you're not eating soy sauce for breakfast. It's
right.
Like,
that's what I was wondering.
Right.
I
mean, it's cool stuff. It's like a take on French toast and a take on like an eggs Benedict. Eggs, but it's a crab cake Benedict with different flavors, and it's just really good.
Wow.
It's really good.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I've heard Nobu is a great place. I've never been. And they have like the best sushi, right? They have them in New York and Vegas and everywhere. Yeah,
they're really good. So did that and then just relaxed all day yesterday. And that's about it. Watched Pitch Perfect 2.
Yeah. Well, even with your relaxation, you did more than I did.
Always. I always do stuff. I have to do stuff.
I actually signed on to Netflix because I realized that the Amazon Prime, I don't get as many movies, you know. So,
right.
So I went to Netflix and stuff and found a lot of movies I want to see. And, you know, Friday we talked about the Steve Jobs movie. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned the one with Ashton Kutcher. So I found that one. That one's just called Jobs. And he plays him pretty good. You know, they made him look like him as well. And the movie's okay so far. I mean, you know me. I watch movies in parts.
Right.
So so far it seems pretty good. A lot of other movies I found the entire X-Files series, which I missed a lot. I didn't realize how much I missed it till I watched an episode yesterday. And they're bringing it back, which is which I'm happy about. Did you ever watch it at all?
It's not really
my thing. Stuff, right?
No, but there are great shows on Netflix that you can watch now.
Yeah.
Like House of Cards. And,
right. Orange is the New Black. Is that on there too?
Bloodline. What else? Narcos. Everyone's talking about Narcos.
Yeah. Now, it makes sense because I guess when you don't have to watch it at a certain time, then you can get into it, right?
Right.
I mean, it's not like it's on TV or something.
People binge watch. That's why people say Netflix and chill. Because you're just going to come over and watch a ton of TV.
Wow. How could people do that, man? I'm telling you. I don't have the ass to sit on for more than 30 minutes. I don't know what it is, man. I remember when I say this, it reminds me of when I was like in first, second grade. The teachers used to tell my mom, he can't sit on his ass for 5 minutes, you know. So I don't know what the hell it is. I'm not like hyperactive or anything. I don't know. I get bored. I don't know what it is.
Well.
Yeah. Well, we got a call coming in, so it's a few minutes early, but I think it's our guest. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Anthony Volpe.
Yes, Anthony.
Anastasia Date.
Yes, welcome to the show. You just called a few minutes early, so I wasn't sure it's you. How are you doing, Anthony?
I'm doing fine. And who is this?
This is Sam and Jen.
Hey, Sam and Jen. How are you?
We're good. We're good. So you're on the air live with us in L.A. Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling you from the San Francisco Bay Area.
Oh, wow. Nice. Is that where you reside, or are you traveling?
This is where I reside, yes.
I see. Cool. So you're part of a website. Did you start the website yourself? Are you the founder?
I did not start the website myself. It was started about 22 years ago, back in 1993, by a couple. This was a a Russian woman and an American man who met. They met on a different site, or at that time, actually, it wasn't even an online site because the web hadn't really started in 1993.
That's true. That's what I'm wondering. I mean, you said a website, and I thought, you know, I mean, there was no websites in 93.
This was the precursor to the website. It was all offline. And they met. She was living in Russia. He was in the States. And they started to correspond by mail. And they ended up meeting in person, falling in love, and then got married. And they decided to extol the virtues of this in a website that they started. And that was the start of AnastasiaDate.com.
Was someone's name Anastasia? Where did Anastasia come from?
Well, Anastasia is actually in Russian. It's pronounced Anastasia, and it's a very famous name in Russian history because Anastasia was the name of a princess, if you will. She was the daughter of the last Tsar in Russia, and she was very famous. So this name has a connotation of a beautiful woman who's very educated, very sophisticated, and so on. And so they decided when they formed and founded the site that they would name it after her, and that's how they came to Anastasia Date. We just happen to pronounce it Anastasia here in America.
Right. So I wanted to ask you, if there weren't the websites there, you said they met offline. How did they meet for the first time?
Well, for the first time, after they had been corresponding by mail for a while, he ended up going over to Russia, and he met her that way.
Right. I guess I meant, how did they first meet each other? I mean, to the point where they started mailing each other. What was the initial?
Oh, I see.
Yeah, initially.
Yes. So at the time, there was another company who was basically offering introductions to people. So for example, if there were women at that time in Russia who wanted to meet men from abroad, and men from abroad, meaning all over the world, who wanted to meet women from Russia, there was a catalog. And this catalog had a description of the people and also their name. And if somebody was interested in corresponding, then they looked at the catalog and they said, hey, you know, I'd like to correspond with this person. And they paid, I don't know what the fee was, but they paid a little bit of money to get their physical address, and they sent mail to that physical address. So this was, you know, this leads to some common misperception and the very derogatory phrase mail order brides, but actually what somebody was doing by looking at the catalog was just buying their address so that they could correspond with them via mail.
I see. So it did work at the time, right? I mean, the thing is that, because I remember there was, and Jen and I just discussed this, that there was probably like a lot of misleading stuff going on at the time too, right? Like, I don't know, men that are so desperate that they would spend a lot of money and end up with nothing. I mean, was that the case during that time? I'm not saying with you, but, you know, in general.
Yes, I understand. Certainly there's that stereotype and that stigma, right?
Mm-hmm.
That international dating sites are for men who are perhaps losers, who can't find somebody nearby, therefore they have to look for love abroad. And actually, in our research that we've done and all, you know, looking at users of international dating sites as well as talking with our own members and looking at our profiles, nothing could be farther from the truth. In fact, I'm looking right now at some research that we had done and looking at the international dating site users, you know, even looking at their education, 52% have a bachelor's degree, 18% have a master's degree, 24% have PhDs, only 7% don't have a college degree. You know, and if you even look at income, everybody is over $60,000 annual income per year, and most of them are over $100,000. So these men are basically, you know, middle-aged professional guys who have a lot of education, a lot of income as well. And these people are just actually more sophisticated, and they've traveled around the world usually. So for them, dating online somebody from another country doesn't seem so foreign.
That's true.
Well, we were talking about like why somebody would want to date somebody that is in another country. Like, is it somebody's relocating or they're just open to it or are they looking for a green card? Why would they want somebody in another country?
And are you talking from the female perspective or from the male perspective or from both?
Both.
Either. Okay. Well, look, you know, looking at the female perspective, again, I'm going to look at some research and tell you some numbers from research that we've done on users of international dating sites. But in this case, from a female perspective, 40% of the females, the women, say that their number one priority, their main reason for getting acquainted with men from around the world is to feel beloved and desired. And number two, with 31%, is to get married. So really, you know, the main driver for them is to feel loved. And when you think about a lot of the cultures outside of the U.S., so for AnastasiaDate.com, these are women from across Europe, you know, they're coming from cultures where they're not necessarily feeling like they're equals to the men, and also they might not have as good opportunities to meet the kind of man that they're looking for.
Right.
From the male side, really what we see is, for the women before I move on to the men, the third most cited reason for getting involved or wanting to meet somebody from abroad is they just want to communicate with interesting people. We see some similarities with the men. The men basically, you know, there's a group that wants to have just kind of like entertainment, flirtation, and escape. They also, there's a group that wants to get married. And then there's a third group that just wants to basically connect with somebody and have that human warmth, through the human interaction. So I would say that when we were looking at these research numbers, we think that they're probably not that much different from the motivations that drive people to find somebody on a domestic U.S. online dating site.
Yeah. I mean, I think the main reason is, and you mentioned culture and stuff. I think some people just want to be exposed to different things, like, for example, if someone travels to Europe and they feel, I like European women, this site would be perfect for them, and the same thing, women in Russia are maybe not treated equally, and not just there, in some countries that are still behind in their culture and equality of women, and they feel they want to break away. We meet a lot of people here, in LA that leave those countries to come here and find a better life, and I can imagine why they would want to have a man when they get here so they're not alone and they have someone they can actually connect with, so.
That's true, and I think that there's certainly a pretty good contingent of people who are like that. What we also find, though, just to be clear, is that there are a lot of women, for example, in this case, who don't necessarily want to leave their countries. It's not, it's not really their motivation. Their motivation is to find somebody whom they love and who, loves them. Mm-hmm. And if it happens to be somebody outside the country, that's okay. They'll consider that. But a lot of them, don't really want, it's not a real desire to move abroad. I just can't hit home enough that, because I think the stereotype, again, and the stigma is that all of the women who are on these sites are looking to get a green card and move abroad, and it's not really that case.
Yeah. And plus, I'm sure sometimes the man will move to their country, right?
It does happen. It happens less frequently, but yes, we've had cases. We have many success stories on our site. And when I say success stories, people who, by their own definition of success, have had success. And so they've told us that there are some men who've actually gone over to Europe and live there as well, yes.
Yeah. So now I imagine there's a lot of international dating going on. So you guys specifically target the European market? I mean, do you guys have anything? Because I know it happens with people in Asia as well that like to connect with Americans and stuff. Do you cover that as well, or do you leave that to somebody else?
Yes. No, we actually... actually have several international online dating sites, and each one of them target a different geography. So AnastasiaDate.com, as I mentioned, is for Europe. We also have a site called AsianDate.com, and that targets, obviously, Asia. We have another one that targets Latin America, which is AmaLatina.com. And then we have one as well called Africa Beauties. And then lastly, one called ArabianDate.com.
Wow,
so we many.
Cover all. Yeah.
You cover the entire world pretty much.
The only one we don't have is Antarctica, but we figured that there's not really anybody there. And we don't cover the U.S. Too much right now because there's so much competition with
America. It's saturated here, This is very cool. So we're talking to Anthony Volpe, right? Is how you pronounce it? You're the CMO of Anastasia Date. That's a website for those of you just joining us. It was founded in 1993. So that's just a year or two before the internet actually started growing. And I guess the internet was just a perfect direction for that couple to take. And, so this site has been around for 23 years, right? 22 years.
And actually, that's 2 years longer than Match.com has been around, since Match.com started in April of 1995. So we're actually a little bit older than they are.
That's true.
So we're one of the forebears of this whole online dating scene as well.
Very cool. You know, and I see you have 4 million members, I guess. That makes sense, haven't been around for so long.
It's a lot of members.
Yeah.
It is a lot of members, and we're just starting to get a much broader word out about the sites that we have. They have been around for a while, but they tended to be a little bit more hush-hush because there was a little bit more of stigma regarding online dating sites, but as we all know, in the last several years especially, there's been a lot of progress made, and the decrease in stigma has been pronounced. In fact, I was looking at this research by Pew Research Center, and they were saying that in 2005, 44% of people thought that online dating is a good way to meet people, but as of 2013, that had jumped up to almost 60%. And basically, just because so many of us now either have tried online dating or know of somebody who's tried online dating or know of somebody who's tried online dating and had a success, right? So it's hard to have stigma regarding something where you know somebody has actually experienced it and had usually good experiences.
It's true. Now people are more like, which site are you on? Not, are you on an online site?
Right.
It's just a matter of which one.
Exactly. There's not this case where it was years ago where people said, oh gosh, can't you meet anybody in the real way? It's more like, just as you said, I think a lot of that has also come about just even because of Tinder. People don't necessarily think of that as a dating site, but it is, whether you're swiping left or right. I mean, you're meeting somebody online or on a mobile device.
That's true. Yeah, and Jen is starting a whole show just on that stuff, so... You know, you'll probably want to talk about Anastasia.
Yes, we'd love to have you on as a guest. It's called It's Complicated, and we're going to be talking about everything to do with dating and relationships.
Good.
So we'd love to be a part of that.
Yeah, so you guys definitely have to connect. Now, Anthony, I wanted to ask you, I think the biggest, I think the main reason somebody would not use the site is maybe suspect, maybe these people are not real, maybe this phony stuff. Do you guys take, steps to make sure that these things are genuine? I mean, is there a way to verify the people, or how does it work?
Yes, we have ways of doing that. We actually have a very safe and secure platform. So on the female member side, we require the prospective female member to come into one of the agencies with whom we work in their native country. And these agencies we've hired to actually check out the identity of the prospective female member. So they go into a physical facility. They show either their passport or their national identity card so that we can make sure they are who they say they are. And also then the agency will check on their social media profiles to make sure that they are, in fact, single.
Oh, wow.
And then on the you know, that's much more than you would find done on you know, most domestic U.S. sites. And then on the male member side, we have their credit card, because they're the ones who pay for the communication with women if they decide to communicate. It, by the way, joining the sites is free, but communicating costs a little bit of money.
Right.
And so we have their identity confirmed through their credit card.
Wow. Very cool. You know, I mean, that's the thing, is that I think if anything, people want to feel safe on the site, feel that it's genuine, that the people are actually there, because there's just been too much fraud going on with this stuff, you know, and people can't figure out who to trust and whom not to.
It is an issue in the industry, and that's one of the reasons why we feel like we created an industry-leading safety and security guarantee, which is if there's ever any kind of malfeasance or any kind of potential fraud that's perpetrated, you know, we will grant a refund based on that person's communication cost with that person. So we look into that very seriously. But we feel like we have safeguards to even prevent that at the beginning. But, you know, every site, every once in a while, has something going wrong there. So we do have that safety security net to help out.
Sounds great. Everybody, check out AnastasiaDate.com. AnastasiaDate.com, if you guys are Russian. And so I see that on the site you have people, obviously not just from formerly Soviet Union countries, but I see people from London and Germany and stuff. So this is cool. It's quite encompassing of the countries and cultures that you cover. Now, so I wanted to ask you, is this like the men, are they mostly or exclusively American, or can a man be in another country?
A man can be in another country. It's not exclusively American men in the U.S. About half of our male customer base is in the U.S., and the other half is spread out all over the world, but mainly in English-speaking countries or in Europe. So, for example, Canada, U.K., South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, and then we have a large contingent of men in Europe, especially in Scandinavia.
Mm. Why do you think that is?
We're not sure exactly why, to be honest. We do know that there's a high rate of and a high English ability, which may account for some of it, but it also may be that those countries have a little bit more maybe familiarity and comfort level with just being abroad and traveling abroad. Those countries typically have tended to have more emigration from there and just a lot more travel abroad. Mm-hmm. So that may have something to do with it, but we're not really sure.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, this site sounds definitely interesting for a lot of people that are looking for new ways or different ways to meet people. And that's cool. You know, I mean, I like that a lot. And again, it's a site that's been around for 22 years with 4 million members. I think it's pretty safe to trust that you're going to find somebody. And you know, eventually, right? So the model works that you can search for free, but then to communicate, you have to pay. Sounds pretty much like the way most dating sites are today. So it's not like, you know, that you're asking anything unusual of the people.
Well, you know, there are obviously a variety of models out there, business models. Some sites are just absolutely free, but then they have advertising on them. Some sites have a monthly membership. Basically, what we do is we have people come on the site, and you can browse profile. By the way, signing up takes 30 seconds or less, and then people sign up, and if they, you know, looking at profiles, again, as you mentioned, is free. There's a very small membership cost that includes some communication credits. Right now, it's $2.99. It's very affordable, and then you can go ahead and start communicating.
Yeah, sounds great. Yeah. Jen, any more questions for Anthony?
No, just gonna have you come on my show too.
Yeah, exactly. She doesn't want to use up all her questions on this interview.
I just like learning. I'm learning a lot.
Anthony, thank you so much for calling in. Everybody check out AnastasiaDate.com. Well, not everybody, not if you're married. But check it out.
Thank you, Sam and Jen. I really appreciate you having me on your show. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Much success to you and all the best. Anthony Volpe, thanks again for calling in.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Well,
I like that there's a system to check who the people are.
Yeah, to verify, right?
Yeah.
It's very important. And that's the thing. When he said that, I was surprised because, you know, with websites, usually everything's online.
Right.
But here you actually physically have to go in.
And, I mean, I was thinking about that. Like, that's a lot of manpower and agencies to work with and things like that. But, you know, like Airbnb does something where they have to verify you by a certain amount of ways. So it's like by Facebook, LinkedIn, your passport photo, a credit card. Like, you have to put so many things on file. And, I mean, you can. You don't have to. You could put one thing on file. But then to other people that are going to, let's say, rent to you or rent from you, if you have one verification, I wouldn't necessarily rent to you or rent from you, personally.
I see, yeah.
That's my standard. Right. If you had five, I would be like, okay, I feel more safe with you coming into my place or me going to yours where I'm not going to get killed or this isn't like a scam of some kind. But that's all online. It's not necessarily like offices that you'd have to go to verify yourself. But hey, whatever works.
Exactly.
But they could do it the same way. They could have the technology to just verify online as well.
Yeah. No, that's true. And he said that they look at those things as well, I guess. I guess social media makes sense to take a look, see if you exist, you know.
Well, what he said was single, to see if you're single.
Oh, okay.
Not to see if you exist.
Oh, okay.
Because anyone can create an account, but it's That's A, how many pictures you have. Also, B, do you have a boyfriend in every single one of those pictures or a husband? I would guess the people that are going to go on a dating site are much more calculated than putting pictures of their husband on their page or their wife on their page.
Yeah, and besides, I mean, you know, the thing, if you want to cheat, go on, what's it called?
Ashley Madison.
Yeah, this site, people are more like, I think, genuine in what they're looking for.
I don't know. You never know. There's always going to be freaks. But that's why they have an office and people to verify.
So. Right. And there's, and I mean, 4 million people, you know. So, you know, some of them are going to be bad apples. But for the most part, maybe worth a try. Maybe I'll do a search on it.
Hey.
When I go.
You can join for free.
Yeah, there you go. And even if you have to pay money, so what? You know, I mean, the thing is you get, it opens up like a whole world to you.
Right. I think with paying for things, you have to be very serious about what you're doing.
Right.
Because otherwise you wouldn't spend the money just to browse.
Right. And people, you know what? People appreciate things more when they pay for them.
It's true. And I know, like, I've had girlfriends and people, like, talk about the fact that if you go on Match.com, let's say, and you have to pay however much a month, or JDate even, that you're probably going to come across people that are looking for something serious because they wouldn't have put the money in. They wouldn't have made the effort to make the profile. They wouldn't have done all these things versus like Tinder. That's so easy just to create. You literally can take your Facebook profile and it just makes it for you.
Right.
So that's like very little effort, which obviously means they're probably going to put little effort into whatever they're doing.
And then you have the sites like Plenty of Fish, which is garbage, right?
I mean, I have no idea what that even is.
Really? Yeah. Oh, it's a free dating site. It's supposed to be huge. But, you know, I mean, I've read on it and I never really checked it out. But the thing is that you can imagine when it's free, it's probably like Craigslist, you know. It's like, you know, most of the people, you probably don't know who they are.
I think there's quantity over quality when it comes to free sites.
Right.
And you're going to have to, if you're really looking for something, you're going to have to spend more time versus a paid site that, like, you can sort of, you know, weed out some people and things.
Right. And that's the thing, you know, like you said, if they pay, they're probably more serious about it.
Right.
And when they don't, they probably just go in to find a hookup or something. And people get frustrated because of that, because they're looking for serious people. So definitely, I've learned, you know, it's like we've grown to expect everything to be free on the internet. But the thing is, there is something to say for services that you pay for. You know, I mean, there's a place for them. Obviously, all these companies would not succeed.
That's true.
But you're getting a lot more value, you know. Like, for example, with Spotify. Spotify is free on your computer. But if I want it on my cell phone, it's $10 a month. But I'm going, yeah, I mean, I'm getting a great service. You know, it saves me a lot of money from buying songs all the time. And you discover new songs. You can take it on any device with you. And So I'm okay. For $10, it's worth it, you know. Netflix, the same thing. $8, man. You get movies, you know. So
Right. You
can go for free and watch movies on free TV, but it's not the same.
Right.
You know, so, yeah. So, but, yeah, that's the thing. It's interesting how they met. The original couple, when they met before the internet, you know,
yes.
That was like catalogs and everything.
I can't imagine mailing somebody something and having to wait for a response. Now, I mean, we want instant gratification. Like, I want a response immediately.
Right. We're that kind of a culture now, you know. But I remember, I'm telling you, Jen, when I came out here in 1976, phone calls were still so expensive that I would call once a week and we would send letters. I mean, it would take 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So crazy.
Right? How could people live like that?
I have no idea.
We did.
That's why I'm like, okay, how do these people fall in love originally back in 93 or whenever they did this? You know, like you're mailing. Okay, and then what if you don't even like that person? And then you want to start mailing another person. Like the amount of time, you're going to wait years to even figure out if you're in love with anybody.
I know.
Also, like...
But when you don't know any better, you know?
That's true. It was a different time.
Yeah.
I mean, I can barely do long distance now. So. To me, like, the Valley's long distance. So.
It is, right?
Yeah. Like, the thought of scheduling to see somebody that lived in the Valley, I'd be like, okay, well, I'd have to be there on a night. I could drive there, or you're driving to West Hollywood, and it'd be a whole thing. And it's like, do I have to pack a bag to stay at your place?
LA's spread out, you know? You have to drive far everywhere. But it's really not a big deal. You know, I mean, I figured traffic, no traffic, you could probably get anywhere across the city in 30 minutes.
Yes.
Don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's not the end of the world. But at any rate, so that's it for online dating internationally. If you guys want to find out more, tune into It's Complicated.
Yes.
We might as well promote it.
Yes, we should.
Okay, so let's hear.
So, yeah, tune into It's Complicated Wednesdays at 12. Lauren and I will be talking about everything to do with dating, online dating, relationships, what happens when all these things go awry, and our own personal experiences.
Yeah.
There you go.
You can't go wrong with that show, I'm telling you.
No, we're prepared to air our dirty laundry. So.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because Lauren does all the posts for Two Drunk Girls, our YouTube show. So now we have a variety of social media accounts. We've got Complicated Show on Instagram and Twitter to promote the things we're doing with the radio show. Then we've got Two Drunk Girls to promote what we're doing with our YouTube channel. Obviously different like sort of personas. One is like us being drunk and things and celebrating life that way. And the other one's talking about dating and relationships. So I'm doing all the posts for the Complicated Show. And she posted something on Two Drunk Girls from our party the other night, and it's us giving our speech. And in the caption, it's like, really great speech, check. Really awesome outfits, check. Really fun night, check. Ready to air our dirty laundry about all the guys we're about to date, check. And like, yeah, we have no shame in our game. And I don't know, some people have issues with that, and they're like, I don't want to reveal all these things. I don't know even how you do it on the radio. Like, what do you talk about? How are you going to do this without alienating people or them being afraid to date you? I'm like, well, then they know. You sign up for this. I'm not shy about it. I have a radio show. I have two radio shows.
Besides, we don't expose anybody. I mean, nobody really would know.
No, and Lauren and I are not prepared to say people's names, but we're going to give certain things that come up, like an issue that we faced or like a scenario that happened or a conversation that happened. And we're never going to say names. We're not going to like bash people. We're just going to give our feedback and why it works or doesn't work for us.
Right.
It's just about me and Lauren and our guests. So, you know, that's representing three kinds of people in a room.
Yeah.
That's not everybody. We're not saying everybody feels that way, but we're saying we feel that way.
Right. And definitely entertaining. You know, I mean, if nothing else, if, you know, just two funny girls with a lot to say. And I can't see how you'll go wrong with that. It's going to be very cool.
Well, I'm sure we'll go wrong a couple times. Something will come up. Just like the other day when I was talking about, you know, whenever that was that I had talked about a date on the radio show and then gotten an earful after the fact.
Right, exactly.
So
don't expose people by name, you know.
Well, I didn't even do that day, and I still got in trouble. But
that's true.
Here's the thing. I don't care.
Yeah.
So that's the end of that. Yeah. I don't care, and I'm going to do it anyway.
Right. That's me, and that's my life.
Right. And so the reason the show will work and will be funny is because our perspective is unique.
Yeah.
There's one Jen Golden in the world. There's one Lauren Leonelli, and then there's one whoever the guest is of the day. Right. So that's what's going to make the show fun, is that those three people will have a unique perspective on, like, all of the things we're going to be talking about and our own experiences. Not everyone does what I do.
Right.
On dates.
That's true.
Nobody sits there unless you do, and then that's a different story. We should talk about it. Like, questions like, what's your mental health status? Like, how do you view me not writing you back right away? Are you going to go crazy? Am I going to get a call from you and you're going to cry? Right. Like, I don't want that.
Yeah.
But that's me. Lauren might like people that call and cry. Like, yeah. I don't know. We'll talk about it.
And that's the thing. I mean, you're alike in many ways. You're different in other ways. And that's what I think contributes to a good show.
Totally. Like, you know? She's more compassionate in certain ways. I'm very direct.
Yeah.
And, like, then she's direct about other things. And I'm like, no, I feel bad. And, like, it's just a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah. Wow.
So.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I love stuff on dating, you know, I mean, in relationships and stuff, you know, because it's like, it never runs out of style, you know, I mean.
It's something always, that everyone's going to be doing for the rest of their life, all eternity.
Always relevant, you know.
And we have guests, Joe and Mally, the authors of The Soulmate Experience, will be our first guests on the show. They'll be calling in. So Lauren and I would like to know about a soulmate. What the hell is a soulmate?
Yeah.
Because maybe we're soulmates. We talked about it because I explained to her how when you and I interviewed them that they said it could even just be friends. It could be a mother-daughter, a parent relationship. It could be, you know, soulmates mean different things to different people. And by definition for them.
So it's not just lovers.
Right.
Okay.
Remember, that's what they were talking about.
Right.
It could be anything that you just have a connection with. So Lauren and I were like, maybe we're soulmates and that's why we're meant to work together. Like, who knows? But we want to know about specifically love and relationships.
Right.
Because... Hello, calling all soulmates. Call us.
Yeah. Now, do you think, based on what you know so far, before talking to them again about this, do you feel that a person has only one soulmate?
No.
So there's a lot of them out there.
I think there's... I do relate to what they said about, like, it could come in different forms and also different times in your life. And, like, unfortunately, like, sometimes people die. And, like, then you hear those stories of, like, I lost my one true love, but then you found another one. Like, what are you going to say about that then?
Right.
Like, you can't have had just one soulmate then. But, like, I think you have a very strong connection that is unexplainable. And that's a soulmate. Because maybe in a past life, if you believe in that too, like, on a different playing field, you connect with somebody. And it's not just that you both like wine, you know, or, like, you both like to watch baseball. I don't know. I'm trying to give an example, and that's terrible. But it's not just about, like, what you like and dislike. It's that you can... literally, like, you know the person before even knowing them.
Right.
Something about them just resonates with you and you connect.
Right. I wonder if it also means that you guys get along all the time or if there's, like, a lot of sparks, because you would think... I mean, because I know some people that are obviously soulmates. I mean, they've, like, been together forever. They seem to complement each other. But at the same time... you know, I mean, they're fighting all the time, you know, so is that a soulmate or is that not? You know, I don't know.
I don't know what, like, fighting has to do with it, because people handle themselves
because
differently.
Maybe, yeah. Well, the reason I brought it up is because I think it shows when people don't get along. So my question is, does your soulmate have to be someone you get along with?
I mean, I would hope you want to just be with somebody you get along with.
Yeah.
I don't know why people stay in relationships they don't get along with.
Right.
I think... also, there's a lot of work to be done on ourselves as people. Like, so if you're hot-headed and you fight, that and that's your style of fighting, or if that's how you show love or receive love because you test somebody, there's a lot of people that do that. They'll start a fight just to see if the person will chase them.
Really?
Yeah, to see if they care, come running, or that garners that warrants a relationship that then a conversation that's like makes you talk about how you feel. Because unless you're fighting, you're not talking about how you're feeling.
Right.
So people pick fights. I wouldn't want any kind of relationship like that.
Yeah.
I want one where it's just easy come, easy go. It's like a nice communication.
But, you know, when we're talking about soulmate, and obviously it's a little spiritual there, I would think, well, maybe, you know, maybe your relationship with your soulmate is difficult, but maybe that's what they're here for as your soulmate, is to help you overcome some of your problems or shortcomings or maybe. Whatever, you know. So, yeah, so I guess I'm sort of answering my own question, and that is that soulmate is not necessarily lovey-dovey all the time.
No, I would think that the term soulmate probably comes from just the connection you have with somebody, and then whatever else happens after that is a different story. But, like, what draws you to that person?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have a chemical reaction to everybody.
Yeah.
Like, there are just some people I literally don't feel anything for.
Right.
Yeah. Nothing. They don't even, there's not, a, I'm, like, dead. If you put me up to, like, one of those machines, it's like a flat line. So, you know, I think that a soulmate, I mean, what I've said that day when we were talking to Joe and Mally was like, I've had connections with people that I'm like, whoa, you know, like, where did that even come from?
Yeah.
Why was that so easy? How did we just talk for 4 hours straight? Like, why did you appear in my life at all? How did that all work?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of things had to align for that person to be there.
That's true. Yeah.
And that to me is more of like a significant connection than just anything else.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I could like somebody or they could be fine. And on paper, they could be whatever. But, like, if there wasn't that intense connection, I don't know. I wouldn't care.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that's the case, Jen. And it's not just one person in the whole planet we have to find, because that would be pretty difficult.
Yeah. Could take forever.
Yeah. So it's nice to know there's probably a few soulmates out there where you can connect with people. I don't think, you know, I think sometimes people think of soulmate, they think of, like, the other half of you. But I don't think that's what it means.
No, I don't think anybody right? should look, be looking for your other half.
Right.
Yeah. I think you should be looking for a partner in life, right. like somebody that betters your life. But I think you have to first be a whole person.
Yeah.
Like when people say you complete me or like I found my other half, like,
I know.
Why weren't you whole?
Right.
What were you missing?
And then when you split up, it's two halves.
Right.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah.
No.
I know, and this is such a romantic thing, too, to say.
Ugh, I think that we need to find a new romantic saying.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Oh, well. Just quickly, we had another shooting in Portland this time, and... what do you, there's so much debate about gun control and stuff. How do you feel about it? Do you have, like, a firm opinion about whether society should permit guns or not?
I don't know. This is a big topic right before
That's
we end
true,
the show. But I will tell you that
Just briefly.
I still go back to the same thing I always say. I think we need a little bit more mental health control.
Yeah.
And we need to focus more on that. Because why on earth this person was roaming around for 26 years and then went and did this? Without being on medicine, without being in some kind of program, without anything, somehow ended up with guns. You know, why did he have guns? Where did he get these guns?
Right.
I would like to know how there was no mental health check before he got guns.
Yeah.
You know, yes, I do think there should be more gun control and people shouldn't sell them illegally, but there's always going to be illegal sales of things because that's how people make money.
But exactly. But
I think there needs to be more mental health support. To begin with.
Right. But I don't think it's only mental health, you know. I mean, some people may have hatred or whatever, you know. I mean, there's a million reasons.
Fine. Hatred, yes. But also you have to have a mental health issue to think that killing is okay.
Right. Well, yeah, I guess.
To also have that much anger and not suppress that anger or work through that anger, like mental health.
Right. No, that's true. But so, I mean, essentially you're saying the same thing, and that is that we have to ask why people are doing this and not how. Because if you want to kill somebody, you can find anything
right.
other than a gun as well. I just happened to think, it finally like occurred to me because I was sort of like on the fence. In fact, I was also like thinking, you know, I mean, I'm pretty conservative, but I was thinking that people don't need guns. You know, I mean, guns are meant for one thing, and that is to kill people.
Right.
We don't need guns. But I was also thinking of my views about international relations and stuff, and you realize that if your enemy has guns, you have to have guns
right.
still.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's the bottom line. You have to defend yourself whether you like it or not. So if people feel safer having a gun, you know, because criminals are always going to get guns. So to limit law-abiding people to get something to defend them, You know, even if they don't use it, but just a sense of security they get.
But then what does that mean? Everyone gets a gun and you go to school with a gun?
No, you don't go to school.
But then
you have to be responsible.
Going back to gun control, I mean, in relation to this particular situation, right. You know, what were these innocent people sitting in a classroom going to do when one crazy person comes in with a gun?
Yeah, but these are kids, you know? I mean, but
no, it wasn't kids. It was all ages.
Oh, yeah, it was college, right.
But, I mean, the ages ranged from like 18 to 65.
Right.
He took all prisoners. Didn't even matter. He'd ask them questions and they'd answer and he'd kill them anyway.
Right.
So I just think it has to be a two-pronged thing. It has to be laws and it has to be more mental health support because of what you said. People are going to have guns regardless.
Yeah.
But crazy people shouldn't have guns. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. All right. Well, everybody, thank you all for joining us. We're totally out of time and we'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.